Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
This is Nora Rawlinson of Early Word. Welcome to First Flights, the Penguin debut author program, a unique opportunity for librarians to be the first to get to know the authors of major new titles coming up in the next season. If you haven't already, you can join First Flights by signing up on earlyword.com. You'll receive advanced copies of forthcoming debut novels and have the opportunity to join a live online chat with each author. Right now, I'm in the Penguin Studios with Taye Selesi, author of Ghana Must Go, her first novel coming from Penguin Press on March 12th. Welcome, Taye.
Thank you.
I, of course, as anyone does these days when they're about to meet someone, I checked out your website.
You
and
me.
You sound like a multinational corporation. Your website says you live in New York, New Delhi, and Rome.
But
how
I don't
does someone
exploit
manage
small
to
children.
Do that?
Well, really, I guess if my website were telling the truth, and few do, it would say that I don't really live anywhere. But it is true that I lived in New York for 6 years, and then I moved to Rome without having the foresight, neither the organization, to actually stop living in New York at the same time. And I go to New Delhi, just outside of New Delhi, a town called Chhatarpur, about 2-3 times a year.
And why do you go to New Delhi?
Because it's the one place on earth where my external environment moves faster than my internal thought processes, which creates this amazing equilibrium in which I can always, always create.
So how did you discover that, though?
It's a good question. I went to India for the first time for a friend's wedding, as you do, and I stayed only for 6 days. I was still working at the time at a hedge fund, rather improbably. And at the wedding reception, a complete stranger then sat next to me, about 60 years old, an Indian woman, and she asked me, did I meditate and did I practice yoga? I said no to both questions, and she asked if I wanted to try now. And I thought that perhaps a wedding reception for nearly 1,000 people may not have been the best place to start meditating, but she thought the exact opposite. So she told me to close my eyes and listen to the air. I remember this so clearly. And because the wedding was 3 days long, over the course of the 3 days, she introduced me to meditation and to yoga, and I kept returning to India to practice.
But Rome is where you write.
But Rome is where I write, and Rome is where I live. And Rome is also where I eat.
Ah, lucky. You don't look like you eat in Rome.
Well,
but
it's also where I walk. It all balances out.
Your book includes a helpful guide to pronunciation of Ghanaian names, plus information on their meaning, which to me signals that you're fascinated with names. So tell us about your name.
Absolutely. My name, Taye, is the name given to all firstborn twins, male or female, in my culture. Well, my mom's culture, which is Yoruba, from Nigeria. And it's funny because in this part of the world, Taye sounds very sort of exotic or different. But the Yoruba people happen to have the highest incidence of twins in the world. So given that Taye or Taiwo goes to both male and females and all first twins, it's genuinely as common as Kate or Sarah is
really?
Here. So it just tickles me slightly when I'm on this side of the world and I say my name's Taye and someone says, oh, that's so unique.
And they ask you how to pronounce it
Totally. And then I'm in Nigeria or really any part of West Africa and I say my name's Taye and instantly with nary a raised eyebrow, it's like, how's your twin? Just totally another one. So yes, Taye, my name means first twin, and it's being a twin is absolutely one of the most meaningful dimensions of my experience. My twin, my sister, is my best friend and my better half, and it's
is she a writer too?
She's a surgeon.
Ah. I'm beginning to see
some similarities.
Right.
So
and your last name?
Selassie. So Taye is Yoruba, which my mom is, and Selassie is Ewe, which my father is. And
were you born in, where were you born?
I was born in London.
Okay.
As you would have naturally guessed from right? that brief exposition. Selassie means God has heard, or sort of more figuratively, answered prayer. And it was amongst many names that my father wanted to give me. But actually, it's very funny. When I first met my agent and subsequently my wonderful editor here at Penguin, he mentioned that my given surname, which is hyphenated, my mom and my dad's last names, is a bit long and hard to say after the reader has gotten through the challenge of Taye, again, in this part of the world. And was there any other name that I could possibly use instead? And this is a good thing about receiving about 17 names when you're born. You just go into the back bench and you're like, well, what's in there that we can use? So I asked my dad, I said, listen, Dad, I know you're very particular about this Yoruba Eve thing. So obviously Taye is Yoruba, so I want to use an Eve name. And he says, use Selassie. So then I actually legally changed my name. So I don't really have a last name anymore. I just have my two first names.
Your book begins with the main character's death in Ghana, West Africa. And for those who, like many Americans, are geographically challenged, that's on the hump of West Africa.
Indeed.
And right between Cote d'Ivoire and Togo. And near Nigeria.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I've got the map in front of me.
I was thinking it's very impressive. I spent all summer on road tripping around West Africa, and I was confused at the time.
So we open with the main character's death. This is an unusual way to begin a book. Often characters die in the end. Why did you decide to open this way?
Because I'm impatient. No, I don't know. The first 10 pages of the novel arrived all together. It was in Copenhagen, as you are.
You mean it arrived in your mind?
No, I mean they arrived on the screen.
Oh.
Yeah, when I started typing Ghana Must Go, what became Ghana Must Go, I wrote 10 pages in one sitting.
Oh, my
and,
gosh.
And, yeah, it was
interesting. So you didn't have an outline or something you were writing to?
No. I was in Sweden doing a yoga and meditation retreat with a dear friend of mine who's Australian. And we got to the 3 days of silence of the retreat. And I looked at her, she looked at me, and in silence we were like, we've got to go. So we took the train to Copenhagen, and because it was closer actually to Hall, Sweden, where we were, than Stockholm. And we figured we would just spend the days until our flight in this hotel writing, because she was working on a nonfiction book. And I had actually been trying to make a short story called The Sex Lives of African Girls longer, because I thought this probably should be my first novel. And I'd shared that piece, The Sex Lives of African Girls, with Professor Toni Morrison, and she said wonderful things about it, including that it should be longer. And so I was trying to sort of like pump air into Sex Lives of African Girls, nothing doing, when after the 5 a.m. meditation in Sweden, after which I was at risk of dying of hyperthermia, I went to the shower. And while I was there, this entire family, this entire world was just there with me. I mean, all of the family members, the backstory, how they related one to the other, everything was clear to me in a moment, as if I were remembering a story rather than inventing one.
That's so interesting. The book reads like somebody remembering a story.
I mean, yes. It really was that way for me. Like, oh, hey, you guys. I mean, it was very surreal. And I remember I came into the room where my friend Kirsty was, and I said, I think I just met the characters from my first novel. I think I'm going to try to write this. And it's really a terrifying thing when you open Microsoft Word and the cursor is at the top of a blank screen.
I can imagine.
And I think one of the reasons that I kept trying to make The Sex Lives of African Girls longer, even though I knew that it shouldn't be, was just because there were some words already there. And I was petrified of going back to the snowfields.
I'd really like you to read a couple of paragraphs from the beginning of the book, because as I said, this unusual thing of the character dying in the beginning is fascinating, because someone's death is a time when people come together in a very intense way. And yeah. I think that that was a brilliant idea to bring all the characters together and show their different relationships.
It's true. It's true. But I will say, when I typed that out, when I heard that line, remembered as it seemed, and wrote it down and kept going, I distinctly remember when I typed that, I thought, I'm going to have to go back and change this. You can't start a book with these two words. Okay, so that first line and the opening reads as follows. Kwaku dies barefoot on a Sunday before sunrise, his slippers by the doorway to the bedroom like dogs. At the moment, he is on the threshold between sunroom and garden, considering whether to go back to get them. He won't. His second wife, Ama, is asleep in that bedroom, her lips parted loosely, her brow lightly furrowed, her cheek hotly seeking some cool patch of pillow, and he doesn't want to wake her. He couldn't if he tried. But he's carried the thought anyway from bedroom to sunroom, making a production of being careful, a show for himself. He does this, has always done this, since leaving the village, little open-air performances for an audience of one, or for two, him and his cameraman, that silent, invisible cameraman, who stole away beside him all those decades ago in the darkness before daybreak, with the ocean beside, and who has followed him every day, everywhere since, quietly filming his life, or the life of the man who he wishes to be and who he left to become.
Well, it's been great to talk to you, Tai.
It's been my pleasure.
We're looking forward to having our live chat with you on February 6th, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern. And for those of you out there who are not a member of the Penguin First Flights program, you can sign up at earlyword.com. And please come back for our live chat with Taye Selassie, author of Ghana Must Go.
Can't go on. Everything ahead is gone. Stormy weather.